I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a boy, every Saturday afternoon on the television, people tuned in to watch the wrestling. Wrestling had been a very popular activity to go and watch in town halls and theatres in the 50s and 60s, and by the 1980s, it had made the TV screens. The wrestlers were usually huge men with names such as Giant Haystack, Big Daddy, Crusher Mason, and Fit Finley. You get the idea. It was family entertainment, and there was a lot of theatre to these matches, lots of gimmicks, loud grunts, pained faces, and it all felt very staged and even a bit camp. To wrestle is a rare verb in Hebrew, but it's used to describe Jacob's mysterious encounter one night next to the river that we just heard. But to hear the story, I still have to get those Saturday afternoon matches out of my head. And that's why I like Jacob Epstein's depiction of Jacob and the angel that you'll see on the front of this week's sheet, a sculpture now owned by the Tate. It has all the raw, primitive energy that sculpture can carry. It's one of the heaviest items that the Tate owns. It is 2,500 kilos heavy. It's made of alabaster, which gives it enormous solidity, but which is also translucent in places, capturing light, and that gives the figure something of a weightless quality. And what are these 7-foot-high figures doing? From some perspectives, their encounter appears erotic, as if the angel grips Jacob in an amorous embrace, and perhaps Jacob is reciprocating by pressing his body into the angel's. Or perhaps the encounter is less reciprocal. For from other perspectives, the angel appears to hold Jacob up with his arms and bend his legs to support his weight as Jacob hangs, all strength gone. The angel's heels rise from the ground as if he is lifting Jacob up, whose heels also elevate slightly. Is the angel bearing Jacob up or squeezing the last breath from him? Is this an embrace into life or death? By size and weight, Jacob and the angel are equals, and yet that equality, like all the tensions structuring this encounter, underscores their more fundamental inequality, that Jacob was never really a match for this angel. Epstein, who carved this, had been in the news for a number of years. He'd made some nudes in 1908 for the facade of the British Medical Association on the Strand, now Zimbabwe House, opposite Charing Cross Station. And the tabloids in 1908 and the clergy of the day considered his sculptures there indecent. The Evening Standard said it was a form of statuary which no careful father would wish his daughter, or no discriminating young man, his fiancé, to see. And part of the statues were subsequently hacked and broken up. And if you come out of Charing Cross Station today and look up, you can still see what's left. Well, a few years later, Jacob and the Angel was made by Epstein in 1940 and first shown in 1942. This time, the Daily Mail asked, is this a miracle or a monstrosity? The general public had a similar disapproving curiosity. And this statue was, after its first showing in a gallery in London, installed in an old song booth on Blackpool's Promenade, advertised as Epstein's latest sensation and for adults only. It was placed on sand with a painted backdrop of dunes and palm trees. It was illuminated by coloured lights and accompanied by an American jukebox playing soft music. It was a sort of peep show. After 4 years there, it went to Oxford Street and was placed in a show of cultural attractions that included the giraffe-necked woman and war in wax. It ended up back in Blackpool at Tussauds Waxworks. It took many years before this sculpture was taken seriously enough to be loaned to Liverpool Cathedral, and then later purchased by the Tate in 1996. Perhaps it is just easier to distract yourself from the themes of an artwork by making it an entertainment rather than a serious engagement with truths and with the questioning of your own falsities and evasions. We often do the same with religion, I think. But the thing about our religion is that its stories, like all the great mythologies, are really about now and not about then. They address us, our inner lives, in the now, and are misunderstood if they're treated as simply histories of some kind. And the fact is that all human growth involves wrestling of some sort. We wrestle here, particularly, with ideas as we try to understand this book or that lecturer and work out our response. We wrestle with our conscience as we ask whether we should say this or do that. We wrestle with our emotions when we fall in love with what love is doing to us or with what hate is turning us into. With envy, loneliness, with lows and highs. We wrestle in our relationships with parents, siblings, lovers, partners, and we struggle at work with colleagues or a sense of worth, with difficult tasks, with boredom or exhaustion. And wrestling, struggling, fighting even, is part of the spiritual life too. As we wonder who God is, or where God is, or what good prayer can do, or how my experience doesn't tally with the beliefs I've had, but now they just don't make sense. The great mystics always say we even have to take on God in order to draw closer to God, because so often the God we rail at or try to butter up is a false God, a bloke in the sky, or a vindictive reflection of our guilt or anger. To find God, we must lose that God. So we wrestle in mind, in heart, and it often hurts like hell. But as therapists might say, the only way is through. The wrestle with mind, heart, hope, fear, and with God are an essential path to who we are and who we can yet be. And to seek distraction from that authentic wrestle of human becoming can lead to us being emotionally stunted or intellectually dishonest or spiritually smug. No. As Lou Holt said, show me someone who has done something worthwhile, and I'll show you someone who has overcome adversity. So Jacob's wrestle with the unknown that left him limping but blessed, surrendering to truth and knowing his true name as he does, is also ours. And talking of blessing, I'll end with this Franciscan one. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer, so that you may reach out your hand. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world. So wrestle towards the truth with yourself and with your world, and yes, with your God.